The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 22. And here, ladies and gentlemen, is your director, Harry W. Junkin.
Thank you, Bob Warren. Friends, 4 weeks ago, Radio City Playhouse presented a play called Five Extra Nooses by Charles Lee Hutchings. Listeners across the country wrote to us commending the script and its theme. Tonight, we present another script by this penetrating and able writer. As a matter of fact, we feel very warm towards Mr. Hutchings because, whether he knows it or not, he has the much-to-be-valued talent of pointing a moral while still remaining entertaining. His story tonight is called Correction and stars our good friend, Mr. John Larkin. The characters and organizations in the play are imaginary, and any resemblance to persons living or dead or to actual organizations is unintentional. Here, then, is Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 22, Correction, by Charles Lee Hutchings.
Read all about it, save your son, commit suicide with sleeping pills. Read all about it, latest editions, Register News, Examiner.
Hiya, Doc. What'll it be?
The Register.
I see you got your name in a paper in that sleeping pill deal. Register gives you quite a play.
Yes.
Say, Doc, what's the lowdown on that dame which takes the powder? Was she, you know...
Give me the paper. You'll have to read all about it in the Register.
Okay, Doc. Don't need to get sore.
Read all about it. Society dame commits suicide with sleeping pills. Read all
office of the night editor.
Okay, he's on the fourth floor. I seen him not more. Say, are you all right, son?
Yeah, I'm all right. I get going, will you?
Your night editor is Charlie Jorgensen. You know him?
No.
Well, most everybody knows Charlie Jorgensen. Him and me has been on the Daily Register for 20-odd years. He's a mighty busy man, is Charlie. Say, does he know you're coming?
No, it doesn't matter. He'll see me. I have a story for him.
Oh, story, eh? Well, here's his floor, mister.
Here you'll find Charlie in that corner office right across there.
Hey, Spike! Where the heck is that kid? Hey, Spike!
Listen, Turner, don't phone me again. I'm not going to argue with you, I'm telling you.
Sit down, fella. I'll be with you in a minute.
Listen, Turner, I said tomorrow, and I mean tomorrow. Now, get going.
Mr. Jorgensen?
Yes, I'm Jorgensen. What can I do for you?
You're the night editor.
That's right. Is there... Excuse me.
Jorgensen. Listen, Baxter, it goes on page one, so stop bothering me.
Now, you were saying, Mr....
Lumsden. Dr. Roger Lumsden.
Well, how are you, Dr. Lumsden?
Your paper has been running my name in a story all day. That girl who died last night at the party on Long Island.
Oh, yeah. You were the one... Excuse me, Doc. This place gets busy this time of night.
Jorgensen. Yeah, McLaren's got it. Check it, will you? Okay. Yeah, right.
I wasn't at the party.
Look, Mr. Rumsey, or whatever it is, I'm really busy. Can't you come back sometime?
No. Your paper said I was a guest at this party. I wasn't. I live a few blocks away. A friend of mine called me over to see if I could do anything for the girl.
So?
Your paper got it mixed up. Made it sound like I was a guest at this party.
Well, that's too bad, Dr. What was it?
Lumsden. Dr. Roger Lumsden.
I'm sorry if you were annoyed, Doc, but I don't see what difference it makes. After all, you were at the party.
I was called to the party in my professional capacity. I wasn't a guest.
Isn't that a technicality?
Yes. That technicality has finished me as a reputable doctor.
Oh, come now, Dr. Lumsden. It isn't that bad. After all, you were at the
party. It is that bad. The hospital asked me to resign tonight. I'm finished. Patients have been canceling appointments all day. By innuendo and implication, your story says I'm a fast and loose society doctor who gets roaring drunk with people of dubious morals and supplies them with drugs.
We said no such thing.
Not in so many words, no, but that's the impression you created.
Look, Lumsden, you're putting your own construction on the story. We didn't say anything of the sort. I don't think I can help you. There's nothing I can
Yes, there is.
What?
I want to talk to the reporter who came out to the house where the girl died. Young fellow wore glasses.
Might be me. She's off duty now. Oh, excuse me.
Jorgensen. Yeah, yeah. All right, call extension 497, Jim Monroe. Okay.
Mike Beamish is off duty. Leave your number and I'll have him... Hey! Hey, put that gun away.
Don't make any noise, Jorgensen, and don't try to push any of your buzzers.
Are you nuts? Hey, is that thing loaded?
Full clip. Now tell your operator you don't want any more telephone calls in here. Tell her now.
Are you crazy?
Pick up the receiver and say no more calls, and I'm warning you, Jorgensen, if you say anything out of order, I'll kill you. I mean it.
Now, listen, Doc, you can't...
No more calls. Quick.
Hello, Ethel. No more calls. I'm in conference. Okay? Right.
Now, look, Lumsden, let's be reasonable. You're an intelligent man. This sort of thing isn't going to get you anywhere. This isn't the way to do it. You're not using your head. Let's talk this thing over in a calm, intelligent, reasonable way.
Reasonable? Calm? Those are fine-sounding words, Jorgensen. I've been walking around the streets for the last 2 hours trying to be calm and reasonable. Do you know how long it takes to become a doctor? It's taken me 10 years. 10 years. 10 years of slugging and skimping and going without food to buy books. 10 years of living on nothing, of interning on a few lousy bucks a month, of staying up all night studying. And it's gone. Finished. Washed up. Why? Because your paper decided to have some fun. Because you thought...
Oh, look, Lumsden, I'm sorry.
Shut up. I'm sick, Jorgensen. Sick at my stomach. I'm sick at my stomach and I'm washed up. If you press that buzzer, I'll kill you. And that's better.
What do you want me to do?
Get Mike Beamish down here now.
Okay.
What's the pitch? When I got your phone call, I...
Holy cow.
Are you Mike Beamish?
Yeah, I'm Beamish. Say, Charlie, what goes on? What gives with this guy in the gun?
Sit down, Beamish. Over there beside Jorgensen.
Look, fella, you can't do anything.
Shut up. Keep quiet, Mike. The gun is loaded. It's to keep things tidy until I'm finished. Do you remember me, Beamish?
Yeah. And you're the doctor that was at the party last night.
Your story was a bit vivid, wasn't it?
What do you mean?
Where did you get that information about my father?
Well, we dug it out of the files. One of the editors remembered your father had been well known.
Let's stop playing games, shall we? Suppose I refresh your memory. Suicide at Wild Party. Glamorous Joyce Farley, beautiful Broadway showgirl, died last night by her own hand. Clad only in a diaphanous white chiffon nightgown. It wasn't a nightgown. It was an evening dress.
Oh, for gosh sakes, Doc, I mean, nightgown, evening gown. How am I supposed to know?
There's a mighty big difference. A white evening gown suggests dignity and refinement. A white chiffon nightgown suggests all sorts of things.
Oh, now, look, Doc, you're making a mountain out of a molehill.
Be quiet. The end of a wild champagne party and so on and so on. Dr. Roger Lumsden, well-known society doctor. What do you mean by society doctor?
Look here, Lumsden, Beamish just reports what he sees.
I'm asking him what he means by society doctor.
Well,
I'm waiting, Beamish.
Oh, well, they were pretty fancy people.
Did you mean that I'm a high-priced gentleman that panders to weak-minded rich women who have nothing better to do than take pills? Did you?
Oh, no, I...
Did you know that I had never seen one of these people before in my life? Not one of them? Did you know that?
Why, no.
Through a somewhat strange coincidence, Dr. Roger Lumsden, who pronounced the girl dead, is the only son of the late Professor Kenneth Lumsden, who also ended his life through an overdose of sleeping pills. The late Professor Lumsden was one of America's foremost authorities on serial chemistry. He resigned from academic life following a scandal in connection with reported irregularities in faculty-student relations. That makes me sick. I know every word of it, and it makes me sick.
Now, look, Doctor, Well, maybe I wrote that story a little bit fast. But I didn't dig up the stuff about your father.
Well, who did? I'd like to know what brilliant journalistic mind remembered my father's trouble. Well, Beamish, I hope you gentlemen are aware that since I have nothing to live for myself, it wouldn't cost me a thought to shoot both of you.
It was Myers, our managing editor.
Beamish, shut up. This guy's crazy.
What's the matter, Mr. Jorgensen? You men have a pact to cover up each other's dirt? Myers. Myers was the name of the dirty keyhole columnist who wrote that item about my father's school. Is he still working for the Register?
Right, he's our managing editor.
Look, Lumsden, the Register will print a correction item tomorrow. We'll overlook this business with a gun. We'll print a full denial.
Denial, correction. Your paper ran an apology to my father. It was buried back on page 10 with the obituary notices. It protected you from legal action. But it didn't help my father's reputation. Correction.
Look, Dr. Lumsden, honest, I'm sorry about this. I'll do anything I can. Oh, gosh, Doc, I just worked here.
Sure. Nobody's responsible. Nobody did it. But my father's reputation is ruined. And now I'm ruined. Twice in 10 years, the same family, the same paper. But nobody did anything. You want me to be reasonable. Why? Why should I be reasonable? Because you don't expect a doctor to behave like this? Well, I'm not a doctor anymore. And I know exactly what I'm going to do. Get Myers down here.
Tonight?
Tonight, right now.
Brother.
What's the matter, Beamish? You impressed?
Well,
Mr. Myers is a very busy man, Lumsden. He's probably out of town. Well, you can't get a man like Mr. Myers just for the asking.
This gun says I can't. Pick up that telephone and call him, and don't try any front-page dramatics, Jorgensen. I can't miss from here.
Okay. Hello, is Mr. Myers there, please? It's Charlie Jorgensen at the Register. Yes, it's very important.
Jorgensen, if you'll let your hand touch those buttons on your desk once more.
Look, Doc, you can't.
Keep quiet, Beamish. Jorgensen, I'm not fooling.
Hello, sir. I'm sorry to disturb you at home, but, well, something very important has come up. Well, I can't talk about it on the phone. Well, I know, sir, but I'm afraid you'll have to come down right away. No, sir, I really can't discuss it on the phone. It's very urgent. Yes. No, I'm afraid you'll have to come down right away. All right, Mr. Myers, thanks.
Well?
Mr. Myers will be right down.
Good. Now, we'll just sit here and wait for him. We've all got a lot to think about.
What kind of nonsense is this, Jorgensen? And have you heard the war is over and that it's quite possible to talk about things on the telephone? What's the matter with you, Jorgensen? Beamish, what is it?
Behind you, Mr. Myers.
Huh? So who's this? What are you doing with that gun?
I'm pointing that gun at your fat belly, Mr. Myers, and it'll blow a hole into your guts unless you sit down and shut up. No. Sit over there with your hired help so I can see the whole pretty threesome.
I've seen trigger men before this. You look like an amateur to me. Suppose you explain what you want.
He's Lumsden, the doctor who got mixed up in that suicide party on Long Island. You remember, the son of the late Professor Lumsden.
Oh, now I can place you, Dr. Lumsden. Well, that was a very sad affair last night. Very sad. We'll be glad to do anything we can.
Myers, do you remember seeing me before?
No, I can't say that I do. Of course, if you'd put that gun away, it might ease the social situation.
I'm asking you to remember back 10 years. I came to your office with my father. You had published a story hinting at some off-color behavior in the dormitories at my father's school. It was a particularly foul story, even for your column. Where did you get it, Myers?
A newspaper man never reveals the source...
Cut that! That's what you told my father when we came to you 10 years ago. I'm asking you now, Myers, and you'd better talk fast.
I can't reveal the source. It was reliable.
This gun is loaded. It's reliable.
Well, 10 years is a long time. As I remember it, I got the story straight from a friend of mine, the father of one of the pupils.
You wrecked my father's reputation with the dirty lies told by a man whose son was expelled from school.
I made no charges. Those columns are checked by the paper's lawyers. How do you think I run my business? All sweetness and light.
I'm learning fast, and I don't like what I'm learning. When we came to your office, my father invited you to consider the facts. You jeered at him and dared him to sue you.
Well, there's no point in raking over the past, Dr. Lumsden.
Okay, Myers, let's talk about the present. You were the one who told Beamish to dig that old lie out of the files and make it over into today's news. I think you hated my father, Myers, because he was a gentleman. And you are a cheap, dirty, irresponsible...
Now, wait a minute. Your father's reputation was not as important as the responsibility of this paper to safeguard the public moral.
I'll save that stuff for your editorial page and your public speeches. You're a disgrace to every decent newspaper man.
No matter what happens, Lumsden, we've got to have a free press.
Your kind of free press, Jorgensen? Free from the restrictions of good taste? Free to blast a man's reputation, yet stay an inch within the law?
As I remember it, your father was cleared of all suspicion.
That's right, Myers. An investigation proved what you already knew, that your item was based on nothing but malicious gossip. Yes, my father was cleared with everybody, except the public. He had to resign. He couldn't get a job in any school in this country. And finally, you killed him, Myers.
He took his own life.
Nevertheless, you killed him. With your printer's ink, you killed him just as surely as I am going to kill you.
What?
Now, hold it, Lumsden. You're all worked up right now.
That's right, Doc. I think you're getting a bit melodramatic.
Yes, yes, perhaps I am. It's really good material for a melodrama. Corny, in fact. The renowned Professor Kenneth Lumsden trailing his string of degrees from town to town. From humiliation to humiliation. Haunted by that little stick of type. A silly bit of gossip which helped to peddle your papers just one day.
Well, that's water over the dam. Now let's get busy and see what we can do to help clear up the present misunderstanding. Suppose we have Beamish write another story for tomorrow's paper, making it clear that you were not a guest at the party, Lumsden.
How did you know I wasn't a guest, Myers?
Well, Beamish told... Well, what's the difference? The story is gone. Tomorrow the public will have forgotten all about it.
So the public forgets, does it? I wonder if you know what you're talking about.
I've been in the newspaper business for 30 years. I know the public.
Then you know that a paragraph of type can kill a man's reputation. You know that, don't you, Myers?
I know I'm not going to sit here at 10 o'clock at night discussing my business with every Tom, Dick, and Harry who roams in. I'm leaving.
Hold it, Myers. This can all end right now, if that's how you want it. Now sit down.
Well, suppose I admit that we have caused you some embarrassment.
There have been 6 generations of teachers, doctors, and professional men in our family. Your story in today's paper has put an end to it all.
You're exaggerating, Lumsden.
Am I? Do you really think that, Jorgensen? Do you, Myers? Do you think that I'm exaggerating?
The story is routine news. It'll be forgotten right now. It's 10 hours old, and it'll be forgotten right now.
I'll make you a bet on that, Mr. Myers. I think this thing all boils down to something between you and me. Beamish here is just a kid. He's still got a chance to become a decent reporter. Jorgensen just sort of let things happen. I think you're the man who's important. So I'll make you a bet. I'll bet you that I'm finished. I'll bet you that 10 years of work and struggle and hardship are wasted. You see, Myers, I know what happened to my father. So we're going to do a little experiment. You're going to telephone 12 people. Just pick them out of the telephone book. And I'll bet you that not one of them has forgotten this story. I'll bet you that every single one of the 12 will not only know about the story, know about me, but will have added all sorts of spicy, dirty details, details which you imply, but don't print. You want to make the bet?
Certainly I'll make the bet. How much?
Your life.
What?
If you lose, I'll kill you. The bet is your life.
Beamish. Jorgensen. This man is crazy.
Get started. Get on the phone. Now.
I don't understand.
I picked the numbers out of the telephone book at random.
But that's not fair. How can I tell whether they...
That's just it. You can't tell. We'll let them give the verdict on me.
But it's only routine news. I can't... Well, it's impossible to base any accuracy...
Stop stalling, Myers. Get on that telephone. Just pick any numbers you like. We'll keep this extension open and listen now. Get going.
Hello.
This is the Daily Register calling. We're checking up on a story. Did you read in the Register today about the girl who killed herself at the party on Long Island?
Oh, you did. What was your reaction?
They should all go to jail. Those society people with their high-priced doctors have nothing to do with their time but throw parties.
Oh, that was a wonderful story. The dead girl looks so beautiful. Don't print this, but somebody told me today that Dr. Lumsden had been supplying drugs to the whole crowd. Oh, I hope you'll get more details.
Yes, I read every word. My husband says there must have been some hanky-panky going on, or else you couldn't print the names. So I guess there will be criminal charges.
Lumsden, I had no idea. We'll put an apology, a correction tomorrow.
Stop it, Myers. You've lost your bet.
Oh, look, Lumsden, most of us in this business try to do the decent thing. Oh, I admit that we've done a lot of harm with a careless item.
There's no use talking, Jorgensen. Mr. Myers has lost his bet.
Oh, look, Doctor. We'll print a full story about your father. We'll print anything you like. We'll print an editorial about the carelessness and an unethical newspaper practices that injure innocent people. And
you're frightened, Doctor.
Well, I...
Jorgensen, you and Beamish, keep perfectly still. Mr. Myers, sit down at that typewriter and write an honest story for change. And you'd better make it good. I just want the truth. The truth as you know it to be. Now, go ahead.
All right. All right, I will.
Hey, Miss Jorgensen, a couple of guys are being held in Beechhurst for that bank robbery and... Hey, what's this?
Shut the door.
Baxter, get the police. This man is a killer.
Sure, Bob.
Stand still, you. You'd never make the door. Now, go over beside Jorgensen and Beamish and keep quiet.
Hey, now look what...
Oh. Doc, help him.
He's fainted, that's all. He'll come around.
Look, Doc, Baxter's supposed to have a bad heart.
Don't move, any of you.
No, he's all right. He just passed out. He'll be all right.
Okay, Myers, get going on that story.
There's the story, Dr. Lumsden. You see, I've cleared both your father and you. Can I go now?
Supposing you read it out loud first. Sorry you fainted, Mr. Baxter. You won't understand what this is all about. But no doubt Mr. Jorgensen and Mr. Beamish here will be pleased to tell you all about it. Now relax, gentlemen. Let's listen to Mr. Myers read us his story. Go ahead, Myers.
This is to certify that I, Walter J. Myers, contrary to all good newspaper ethics, used an unchecked rumor as the basis of a news item in my paper. The rumor turned out to be false. It destroyed the reputation of Professor Kenneth Lumsden. I also instructed Michael Beamish to repeat the item yesterday in a story concerning Dr. Roger Lumsden, his son. Yesterday's story deliberately and in a sensational manner delineated Dr. Lumsden in such a way as to defame his character. I, as editor of this paper, will do anything Dr. Lumsden suggests in order to correct the error in the public's mind. That's it, Doc.
In view of what happened to my father, this reads like a confession of murder. You know now that you killed my father with printer's ink. You admit that, don't you, Myers? And you admit that not one other New York paper handled this story the way you did. You admit that, don't you, Myers?
Well, I admit that Beamish was... that he wrote a sloppy story. I'll fire him.
Fire me? Wait a minute, Mr. Myers. I admit I stink, but I'm just learning how bad.
I quit. I quit before I begin to stink for life. You can take your lousy scandal sheet and hire some more little gossip pickers. I'll get a job on a decent paper. If anyone will hire me after I've worked for you.
What about you, Jorgensen?
I'm afraid I have nothing to say. I'll just take what you're dealing.
Doc, it isn't Jorgensen's fault. He wouldn't be on the night shift if he'd go along with Myers. But he's got a wife and kids to think about. He's okay, Doc.
Well, Myers, that leaves you. You seem to stand out in this little company. Now, how about the bet? You ready to pay?
You're not serious. You can't be it.
I'm serious.
What are you going to do?
You lost your bet, didn't you?
But that's murder. You're crazy. You'll be caught. You'll be caught and you'll be hanged.
I know.
Please, Doc, don't be a fool. You can't get away with it.
Can't I? Jorgensen, you're wrong.
You'll be caught.
No, I won't be caught. Get up, Myers. Get up off that chair.
No, I... Look, Doc, I'll do anything you say. I'll give you $1,000. I'll give you $5,000.
Shut up, Myers. Shut up. Beamish.
Yes, Doctor.
The lead on your story tonight will read, an irate citizen shot and killed the managing editor of the Register. You got that?
Doc, please, don't be a fool.
Stand up, Myers.
No, you're mad. You're mad. Stop him, Jorgensen. Beamish. Stop him. I'll pay.
Holy cow.
Jorgensen, remember that. And you too, Beamish. Now, Baxter, we haven't paid much attention to you in all this. You got anything to say?
No, I haven't.
Quick, Doc. That window leads out to the fire escape. There'll be a million guys in here in about 30 seconds.
Well, thanks. I guess I'll stick around, Beamish. There's only one place for me to go.
No, Doc. Don't do that. Stop him, Jorgensen. He's going to kill himself.
Read all about it.
You have just heard Correction, Attraction 22 on Radio City Playhouse. Correction was written by Charles Lee Hutchings and directed by Harry W. Junkin. Dr. Lumsden was played by Mr. John Larkin. Other members of the cast included Lou Hall, Floyd Buckley, Bill Lipton, Joe Helgeson, and Betty Harrison. The music was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shields. Radio City Playhouse is supervised for the National Broadcasting Company by Richard P. McDonough.
This is Harry Junkin again. Next week on Radio City Playhouse, I Remember Mama, based on the delightful story Mama's Bank Account by Catherine Forbes. The same story characters are all back in their own inimitable charm, and the story deals with Papa's long and finally successful attempt to become a United States citizen. So join us next week for I Remember Mama, Attraction 23 on Radio City Playhouse. Good night, everybody.
This program came to you from our Radio City studios in New York. Robert Warren speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.